Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston Nordman, KBN on 94.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and streaming live at ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. The 414 Hour on KBN is brought to you by Siding Unlimited. Siding Unlimited is Wisconsin's leader in Pella window installation. Looking for new windows, siding, roof, and doors? Visit them at SidingUnlimited.com.
To ensure that his team is competing each and every game. Score! Yeah!
Finally! USA! USA!
Finally!
USA!
Wow, with 2 minutes to go.
1-1 with 2:04 left in the game.
1 minute. $1 million.
Mike Conley will be interesting because...
Oh! Yeah! Oh!
It is the gold medal for 1 4 hour at 4 on KBN.
That it is, Kyle. He's Kyle Wallace. I'm Ben Bruss alongside Bradley Nordman. No Alex Strofe. Chris Larson is running the show. 800-990-3776. That is the Carbless talking text line. List is more. YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee, at ESPN Madison, and of course... You always have the ESPN Wisconsin app to listen live, to listen back. It's all in the palm of your hand. Now, what I found interesting with Jason Wilde, who joined us earlier in the show, was when we were discussing Rich Passaccia, I then brought up how his co-host, Mark Tauscher of Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon, really wants special teams. He's on Tausch is on a special teams kick.
Okay, I ain't mad about
and
that.
I ain't mad
kid.
About either,
I like
but
that.
But I did bring up the fact
of
that.
Of course you do, Brad.
Yeah.
The O-line, if they release a lot of guys, will need some replacements or shuffling. The defensive line, you want more edge rushers, depth, interior. Corner, definitely a place of need.
Yeah.
Then comes special teams. So, not even, this isn't about special teams now. Mm-hmm. This is about the offseason for Goody. What do you think will be more important to the success of the team in 2026? Rounds 2 through 5, the draft, or free agency?
It's going to be free agency. I mean, I'm shocked to say that about the Green Bay Packers because never have they swam in the free agent waters and had them have legitimate widespread impact on the team. But you're starting to see a little bit of difference
from Goody. 2019 they did.
2019, there was a long void until Jacobs
McKinney and
McKinney.
Jacobs. That wasn't when you say widespread.
Are you thinking
amount of players? Give me an amount of players.
3 to 4 players.
Yeah,
3 to 4 starters.
What I'm in my head of what I would like to see them do, but is it possible based off the cap and who they restructure, release, and whatnot? We'll find out.
And this is specifically the 2026 season because we all look at this team and we realize the holes are pretty big, right? You got linebacker, multiple on the D line, offensive line needs to be revamped, like to bring some more bodies in the cornerback room. So there's a lot of areas that need to get tackled. But the reality is, Goody is showing that he's willing to be more aggressive. And you see that from Jacobs McKinney 2 years ago. Banks and Hobbs, he took the swings, but they were misses. But at least it was showing, hey, I want a guard, I want a cornerback. He misevaluated them, but he still went for it. And then, of course, the coup de grace is Micah Parsons going after it and getting traded. You're telling you that you want to...
Coup de grace.
It's French for the killing stroke. It means like the biggest...
Oh, wow.
The grand finale, the largest action, the one that defines it all.
The final blow.
The final blow. It is reflecting that Goody is actually operating with a sense of urgency that we've wanted him to act with. So I think he's going to attack this free agency, knowing there's holes there, and wondering where is the most contribution going to come from in 2026. It's going to be free agency. I expect 3 to 4 starters. Now, I don't think these are going to be like massive top-of-the-line day one starters, but I expect, or day one free agencies, but I expect 3 to 4 starters coming from free agency. And the other reason I think this is, the Packers have always and still are a draft and develop type team. We are banging the drum for having guys being drafted that are ready, that are four-year starters in college, that are ready to be contributing right now. Maybe not as high as a ceiling, but certainly a higher floor. That's just not who Goody wants to draft. And I'm hard-pressed to look at any recent draft and say, oh, yeah, this guy walked in the door as a true rookie from the draft and was an impact player in the same way a free agent was. So even though there'll be more guys, and of course, you know, he'll probably hit on a few guys here and there, it's going to be defined by free agency, and the draft will again look toward the future. Maybe you'll find a diamond in the rough.
Yeah, the reason why it's not the NFL draft right now is because Goody didn't do a good enough job of building the roster prior to make this all about building depth, where it's all about acquiring pieces that can make an instant impact. With guys, when you draft them, you're not sure if they can make an instant impact, but what you're looking for is them to show some type of potential, right? Year one, you saw potential out of Evan Williams. Year one, you saw potential out of Edrin Cooper. Year one, you saw potential out of Javon Bullard. We saw that those guys are going to be contributing pieces to the roster, but they weren't guys where you were going to say year one, oh yeah, they're a stud right away. It was, there's something there. That's what you expect from getting rookies in 2 through 5 and 1 through 5. But when you transition over to the fact that the Packers have too many misses and they have so many voids to fill with Rashid Walker leaving, Quay Walker leaving, maybe even Kingsley Enagbare, who was probably your best reserve defensive lineman, potentially leaving as well, in addition to who you may end up cutting to free up cap space, you have to fill those voids through free agency because of your failures of the draft of the past. So that's why I'm saying that you can't look to the draft this year because your team isn't in that position yet. That's why free agency needs to be extremely emphasized. Now, obviously, the Packers aren't going to be able to get a whole bunch of high-end guys simply because of the constraints that they have, but more is because other teams are going to have more money. I think after, if everybody was to, you know, what do? They redo people's, they give people money and they redo,
they restructure and they release guys.
And after, if all the teams restructured the best way they could, the Packers are still in the bottom 10 when it comes to how much money that they have available. So there's more people that have more money than you. So overall, the Green Bay Packers are going to need to be strategic. They're going to need to find diamonds in the rough. And Goody has his hands full to be able to find a guy that can fill the void that you maybe lose with Rashawn Gary. To find a guy, because you're going to need to retool this offensive line, or you're going to need to bring in a center or somebody to solidify this offensive line, and you don't have all the money in the world to do it, so he needs to be extremely creative. But Goody put this team in a situation where you're not a couple good draft picks away. You are filling a lot of voids through free agency to be able to get this team to a position where they once again can compete for a title.
I guess from the question, what will define 2026, the draft or free agency, 800-990-3776, it's free agency, and it's based off of action or no action and what they're able to do in free agency, because I always look at the draft as when we all talk about it, right? We say it's draft and develop, but when draft day comes around, you then start looking at the draft picks and say, all right, who's going to do this, 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 and this? And Kyle alluded to it. It's very hard, especially in the position the Packers are in without a first round pick, and then where they'll be picking in the second round. I'm going to be waiting a little bit in the second round too for your pick.
You're going to be in the 20s.
And so, or it would be 18, like 50, 20,
I think it's 20,
54 ish, 50.
50? Yeah, it's in the 50s.
Wait, no, they may have the 18th pick. You do the math. Y'all smart.
That would still be something 50. Like that.
32 still be plus 18 50. Would be 18 50. Plus 32.
Yeah.
So my overall point is, if you are looking to make a roster better from where they were in 2025, and there's a lot of foundational pieces that you have that you feel really great about, but the holes right now are like offensive, like you think you're going to draft somebody at offensive line in the second round that you want to come in next to an unseasoned left tackle and Jordan Morgan if they move on from Rashid Walker, Anthony Belton if he plays right guard in his second year, obviously Zach Tom's a staple, Aaron Banks, I guess, like, yeah, you signed him big money, are you going to restructure him, is he going to be there? So it's got to be free agency. It's got to be through free agency that you're filling the offensive line, because you need guys with a franchise quarterback after how bad they were to the Green Bay standard of offensive line play last year.
Very bad.
It's got to be through free agency, because if it's through the draft, I'd be like, oh no. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Yeah, imagine the Green Bay Packers entering the draft weekend and making no linebacker transactions. Right, I mean, you just say, wait a minute, this is a huge part of the defense, and we don't have this figured out. It puts Goody in a situation he doesn't like to be in. He does not like reaching. He likes being able to pick the best guy on the board. And maybe maybe he will actually be able to strike while the iron's hot. And he tends to do this, right? When he needs a tight end, he drafts two tight ends. When he needs a safety, he drafts two safeties. So he likes to sort of blitz a certain position group when he has the need there. But when you're thinking about the Packers being a championship team, it is such a stretch to think that you can draft somebody, plug them in as a starter, and play championship caliber, and at a minimum, play average NFL football so you're not a liability out there. That's a huge ask for a young rookie, no matter what round you get drafted in, first round, which they don't have, or later. So with the cap-strapped situation that the Packers are in, and needing 3 to 4 starters, it's not going to be easy for the Packers to pull off, and it continues to give me concern as to the question that kind of dominates this offseason. How are the Packers going to be better in 2026 than they were in 2025?
Maybe I'm too
internally optimistic. 2025 players have to arrive, as Brett would say, and that can outweigh some of the deficiencies they will find.
See, Brad used the word concern. See, I'm not concerned. All right?
You look at opportunity.
I think it's an opportunity. When I look at this, I hope that Goody has learned from the mistakes of last offseason. Maybe, just maybe, Nate Hobbs being as injured as he was, being the guy that you signed to replace an often injured Jaire Alexander, wasn't the way to go. Maybe we can find ourselves some bargain deals and go bargain shopping. And so I actually am more optimistic because his hand is forced, right? If he didn't sign anybody in free agency last year, I think we would have been disappointed, but I don't think we would have walked away saying, oh my gosh, here we go again. This is awful. We would have said, oh man, here we go. But we wouldn't have.
No, I think if there was no drafted cornerback with where they drafted at the end of the draft, and then they did, like, you still had an optimism that they brought in Nate Hobbs despite the disappointment.
Yes, there was optimism with that, but I'm saying then it adjusts what you probably do in the draft, because at that point you probably draft a corner a little bit higher, and you draft an offensive lineman in the second round that was a reach as an offensive lineman that was a left tackle that you moved to guard. And so what I'm saying is, overall, I feel good about the fact that Goody has no choice but to fill voice, because we have a lot of guys who were starters who are going to be gone. Tyron Hopper right now, as the inside linebacker, if he was ready to go and was going to be a guy that we could depend on to be a starter right away, then Isaiah McDuffie wouldn't have been the number 3 linebacker that came in when guys went down. If the offensive line was going to be ready to go and we had young guys waiting in the wings to be able to step up, well, then you wouldn't have moved Sean Ryan to center. And so when I look at the way that this team has been put together, we don't have those depth pieces, and Goody understands that. So if you're going to move on from guys that were your starters and you know the replacements are not on the roster, that means you have no choice but to make investments in free agency and be strategic to bring some guys in here that can play up to, you know, play higher than what they're being paid. That's what the Packers have to really figure out.
800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. It's Kyle Bruston-Norton. Let's go to Dan in Sheboygan. Dan, you're up with KBN.
I don't think the Packers are going to be better. I didn't throw in for a world of hurt. Oh,
wow.
The strength last year was going to be the strength last year was the defensive coordinator. He's gone. Jordan Love can't stay healthy for a season. Malik Willis, probably gone. They have to have their players right now have to improve, and that's going to happen with the coaching staff on the floor. They got to work with what they got, and they got to get better. Or they have to severely mortgage the future to try and get first-round draft picks and take some real chances. They've been drafted in the 20s and 30s for a lot of years, Green Bay. Over time, that catches up with you. It caught up with New England for a while. If you draft between 25 and 30 for like 15, 20 straight years, we're going to have a talent deficit to the rest of the league.
So, I mean, how did it catch up to New England? Green Bay's going to be in trouble this year.
Right, but there was a drop-off until they got Big May for a while.
Wouldn't you take the drop-off?
For 6 years?
I would take the drop-off and then I'm back in a Super Bowl. I haven't been to a Super Bowl in 15 years, and Tom Brady and Drake
May getting younger.
I'm not getting any younger. And I'd be damned if I have a child come into this world that has to suffer and not see a title within the first 10 years of being alive.
You won't allow it.
You'll be damned.
Well, the first 10 years.
I'll be upset. Yeah, first. Well, Brad, how old were you when the Packers won the Super Bowl?
I think I was 6 years old.
Okay.
6 or 7.
Yeah.
Those are core memories. Those are identity-shaping memories.
They were extreme core memories, and I was extremely excited in school making hoodies that had Packers on it, and then doing the Pack Arena, and then going to back-to-back Super Bowls. That strengthened my bond with the Green Bay Packers. I want to make sure my child has that bond as well, and the Packers have to.
Will you advise your future child? Did you say son?
I might have said. Did I say son?
I don't know if you did.
I don't know.
You're talking like it.
I may have been envisioning a son, a boy, but I'll take
Kyle
a girl.
Wallace Jr.
I'll take whatever the
Would
Lord
you advise. Future child to buy the stock?
he or she will get stock gifted to them if there was an opportunity. Or they could just take the papas. I mean, whatever they want to do. Hey, look, look, your dad's an owner.
You're already a pushover. You're already a pushover.
I mean, I got $250 to spare for my kid.
Not for us, though.
Powerful.
What do you mean, not for us? Who's us?
Brad, myself, Strofe.
Well, what
you
do you mean?
$18 on a Christmas gift for us,
oh,
and then free wine that you got from your father-in-law.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go.
Brad, I'd like for you to break down Pro Football Focus a little bit more, but not where Jordan Love is ranked, because we did discuss how he is properly getting the respect he deserves in those rankings, but what the Green Bay Packers overall look like from Pro Football Focus in the outlook of the NFC. That's next.
QC Kinetics is going to offer you a chance to give you your life back. Pain in your joints is keeping you from living your best life. But here in the Milwaukee area in Mequon and Greenfield, QC Kinetics is offering you regenerative treatments at the cellular level. Led by Dr. Ashley Caravelli, they are the nation's leader in regenerative medicine. So that's how you know that you can go in there, you can trust them for a non-surgical, natural, drug-free approach to start living your best life as soon as possible. The weather's starting to turn out there. That means more activities, that means more movement, and you could be next. There's already been 40,000 people with QC Kinetics who have been satisfied, more than satisfied, with their results and are living a life that they are joyful with. So call QC Kinetics now for your free consultation, no obligation, and see what they can do for you as they put you on a personalized path to a pain-free life. Give QC Kinetics a call today at 414-240-2298. 414-240-2298. That's 414-240-2298.
Brad is in a struggle bus. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so
this is behind
the normal
the
spot he sits in has a microphone that literally snapped.
Look
off.
At this. They done came in here. Somebody done broke our mics.
It's just dangling there. So it's like the wires. And
he is. I mean, I don't blame you. If you're used to clicking the on-off right by your body, right by your right hand.
It's right here.
You clicked it on, and that's not for that mic.
Yeah, I was halfway through my singing the beautiful phrases of QC Kinetics, clicked on, realizing I'm speaking into a mic that's picking up none of my voice. I have to reach over with my left hand, turn on the other one that I'm
using.
Kyle
did you a solid when you had a cough and he turned it off.
I know,
you.
Kyle, the last segment.
I could hear it.
Thank you.
I could hear it. Yeah,
that's a good teammate
I guess
right
I could, probably could have turned it on myself, but.
Nah,
I like
watching them struggle.
I mean, he literally, you can hear in his voice, he had something in it. And I was
and,
like, wait
and you
a
can
minute.
Probably see panic in my eyes. Because I'm like, well, I can't stop. I can't cough.
Poor
what
guy.
What can I do?
Yeah, he's all right.
Will this be fixed by tomorrow?
Yeah, right.
Okay, well, Brad, good luck.
It looks like
well,
a
he's not
serious
here tomorrow. You guys are at the theater tomorrow. So
oh,
okay.
Yeah, we are at Majestic
Monday
in Brookfield.
It looks
for,
like a very
a road
serious
at night promotion.
Microphone break, but hey.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, they can fix that. IT fixes everything.
Yeah.
What we did earlier on Kyle Bruston-Ortman was discuss how Jordan Love is getting the respect he deserves from Pro Football Focus, which is in the end, I'll be all, but it's good to see him in the top five, top six of quarterbacks after the season. Now, Brad, you had a different way of looking at it when comparing the Packers to the NFC teams. Hit it, Chris.
Well,
when the data gets dense, when the decimals demand justice, when one man dares to calculate it all, it's Brad Nerdman on Kyle Bruston-Ortman.
That's right, citizens. Nerdman is back, providing numerical justice for all to enjoy.
Numerical
and today,
justice.
Diving deeper into the Pro Football Focus article, my initial thought was, where is Jordan Love? We talked about that earlier in the show. 37th.
Missing the show, ESPN Wisconsin app, YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee.
37th on Pro Football Focus's top 101 players. They haven't released the top 20 yet. It's going to put him somewhere between 5 and 7 overall for quarterbacks in the NFL. So I sat and I applauded Jordan Love and said, oh, baby, that's exciting. But then I thought more about it. I said, well, That's Jordan Love, but what about the Packers in general? And how do the Packers compare to the rest of the NFC elite? How many players do they have in the top 100? How many players do the Packers have? Let's start with the Green Bay Packers. We know Jordan Love's at 37th overall. That's pretty great. That's where you want your quarterback to be, that or higher. Xavier McKinney is 66th overall. Of course, he's an all-pro. He's a fixture of the Packer defense. Speaking of a fixture of the Packers defense, Micah Parsons has yet to be named. The assumption is he's going to be in the top 20. So the Packers are going to have three players.
That's it?
In the top 100.
I thought the three that you put down earlier didn't include the Micah that's coming out later.
This includes Micah. So Packers are going to have three players in the Pro Football Focus top 100. But I thought to myself, okay, well, there's 32 teams. So if every team has three, that puts it at 96 teams. So basically three is average, right? Like any given team should have three players based on the average of the NFL. But what do the elite NFC teams have? I wonder if they have more, they have less. So let's dive in, shall we? Let's start with the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears already have three players on the list, not including the top 20. I suspect they will only have three. That's going to be tied with the Green Bay Packers. Philadelphia Eagles. Yes, Ben? You look like you want to say something. Okay.
I was just wondering who they were.
Okay. Colston Loveland was one of them.
Jalen Johnson.
I believe there was an O-lineman. Tooney was another. Or maybe, I don't think Tooney's been listed, actually. So they might have four.
They have four.
It's another O-lineman.
The right tackle.
Enough said.
Yeah, this is something that tough to do live on
air. Colston's in the top 100 already?
He was like 61.
Okay.
Colston Loveland. So again, this is without already thinking about the top 20. Because now as I think about this, Philadelphia Eagles, they have four already on the list. But that doesn't include Saquon Barkley. He didn't have a great season, but he might be still in the top 20. Philadelphia Eagles have four. San Francisco 49ers, they already have four. But I believe that Trent Williams has not been listed yet. So they might have five total on their list. But this is where it gets really interesting. Your Super Bowl champion, Seattle Seahawks. 21 through 100, they have six already, and JSN has not been listed yet.
Damn.
They're going to end up with seven.
Is that Pommy?
Not if you look at the stats are never Pommy, Ben.
stats don't have emotions.
Numbers are never prisoner of the moment. And the most of any team in the NFL, the Los Angeles Rams, they have eight. And Stafford has not been named yet, who will certainly be top 20. They're going to end up with nine. And the one I thought most interesting, three of their four starting defensive linemen for the Rams, all listed in the top 100.
Wow.
So to recap, Packers will have three when it's all said and done. They have two so far. Bears have three. Philly have four. San Fran has four. I suspect they're going to get a couple more in the top 20, though. Rams have eight. They'll have nine with Stafford and six for the Seahawks. They'll end with seven with JSN. So my takeaway, you can digest that how you will.
I already have a takeaway.
There's a couple of counter arguments that I will accept, but I will let you come to those conclusions as you will. My thought is, this is who the Packers are. They've got a handful of elite players, but they don't have nearly enough to get them deep in the playoffs. That's why they make the playoffs every year. But they don't advance far enough. They've got a few studs, but not enough studs. And that doesn't even get into the argument of depth.
Is there a certain amount of games to qualify? Because Tucker Kraft was like rated as number one or two.
Brock Purdy is on the list. So he played 10 games? Something like that? So I would imagine Tucker Kraft would be on this list if he qualified. That is the one that I thought of, is Tucker Kraft might be a fourth on here.
My main takeaway right away will be different than Kyle's, I know this, is that I hate to say it, but Alex Stroph was on to something.
Oh, wow.
Oh, PIPs, Pips!
Playoff impact players that were drafted in the first three rounds of the last 3 years would be guys that you'd want on your team starting to play their way into this list. And I bet you, if we went through some of the guys on the Rams and Seattle and the Eagles, they would have been drafted in the first three rounds of the last 3 years. And the Packers don't have any that were drafted. Traded for, signed or drafted in 2020. That's not correct. Of the last 3 years.
That's a really good point.
So we'll have to run this by Alex Stroh. You're going to have to give him the list when he gets back and say, find out who the PIPs are, the playoff impact players that were drafted in the last 3 years in the first three rounds.
That's why I think it's okay for you to express your frustration with Goody. And my biggest takeaway is Love did more with less. That's clear to me, is that you don't have any guys on offensive weapons that you can put on this list that are top 100. Meanwhile, the Bears have a tight end who had, I believe, 70 catches as a rookie. And again, Tucker Kraft went down. But they have a tight end on a weapon that they already have on the offensive side of football that was contributing and already in the top 100 as players based off of this list. So when I think about this roster, I think about this team, it makes me think about how Jordan Love is doing more with less. And some of the guys that we thought were going to be great contributors on this team, potentially like Romeo Doubs, who's going to be walking away. We thought Elgton Jenkins was going to be good at center. He's going to be walking away. Rashid Walker ended up is going to be moving on as well. It's just not enough, man. It just shows that the Green Bay Packers have to do better at evaluating talent. This is going to be on Goody. Goody needs to do a better job of evaluating talent, and then Matt LaFleur and his staff need to do a better job of cultivating that talent as well.
Strofe labels things horrible for our producers that...
Bro, I don't even, like...
Just let me get to it.
Awful.
Dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. That's the KPN Sports Desk.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to read the first sentence, and then I'm going to show you how long this list is. I don't even know how to say his name in the 808. On the Carbless Talking text line. I disagree that Jordan Love is better than Sam Darnold. I ain't reading all that.
Wow.
That's a long
list. TLDR right there. I just learned what that meant.
What does that mean?
Too long, didn't read.
Didn't read.
Oh.
And people say TLDR.
Yeah, I didn't know that one.
Okay. Look at me educating you, Kyle.
That is. Who told you that?
A buddy.
You've seen a message that you've got, or probably from someone. You're like,
I sent him something long, and he said TLDR. I said, what does that
somebody
mean,
sent
dude?
You all that before?
Yeah.
Oh, or wow. No, like something like, whoa.
I would say anybody reading all this, but TLDR.
TLDR.
Long,
okay,
read.
Cool. I didn't know what NSFW was for a while.
What's NSFW?
Not suitable for work. I'd be clicking. I would be clicking.
Or not safe for work, either.
Not safe, yeah. I'd be clicking, not knowing what that was.
Yeah. Good. It's good you're not doing that anymore. That's an important one to learn. That's more important than TLDR.
It is more important than TLDR. Too long to read, but you know what is really great and not too long? Is UWD. And Universal Windows Direct is fantastic, and I'm telling y'all this right now. It is the perfect time to upgrade your windows. February is all about love, and you can love on your windows by buying Universal Windows Direct windows. They have high energy efficient windows. They're fantastic. What I love about my windows in the house is the fact that I can open it up from the bottom or open it up from the top. I love that my windows actually keep the hot air in, especially during times right now where the weather goes back and forth. It's good to know that you can open up your blinds and all you got to do is let that natural heat come in and you're all good with your windows from Universal Windows Direct. And right now, when you buy two windows, you get two free. You'll get 0% interest for 36 months and a little extra love from UWD. They'll give you $500 off your next home improvement project. I'm telling you this right now. They don't force you to buy, because nobody should force you to do anything. But once you get done with your consultation, oh, you're going to say, I love my windows. So call them today at 414-410-2000 or visit UniversalWindowsDirect.com to schedule your free estimate. There is no pressure whatsoever. Get that free estimate and you'll be walking away saying, just like me, I love my Universal Windows Direct.
We're going to hear from Chris Larson on the other side. We got a lot of stuff in the sports world to get to next. Really excited that A Road at Night, which I've been talking a lot about, was in the Madison area. Well, guess what? Now it is in the Milwaukee area at the Majestic Cinema of Brookfield, February 20th through the 26th. And on Saturday, there's a 4 p.m. showing I'm grateful to be a part of. Again, Majestic Cinema of Brookfield, a 4 p.m. showing with a Q&A with myself, Brian Butch, and Matt LaPay. We're going to highlight some of the great stories we have about Howard Moore, as this documentary is very touching. It's a horrible tragedy, but there's a great message in there as well. You learn so much about the man that Howard Moore is. AroadAtNight.com. If you're looking for tickets in the Milwaukee area, the Majestic Cinema of Brookfield. It's worth your time. I'm telling you. The Majestic Cinema of Brookfield. AroadAtNight.com. That's AroadAtNight.com. Get your tickets there and support a wonderful, wonderful man. Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nordman. It's time now to hear from Chris Larson what he's got for us.
All right, guys, let's head on to a couple different sports stories here before we get to
Former Packers offensive lineman Brian Bulaga to wrap up the show. 23 years ago today, the Milwaukee Bucks shocked fans everywhere by sending a prime Ray Allen to the Seattle Supersonics for an aging Gary Payton. What do you remember when this trade went down? What were your thoughts when it happened? What do you think about it today? Is this the worst trade in not only Bucks history, but Wisconsin sports history?
Oh, it's up there. It's up there with the worst trades. I mean, I remember...
Why you gotta ruin Kyle's day like that, Chris?
I remember being, I believe I was in seventh grade.
You already knew why. We talked about it earlier.
Sixth or seventh grade, and it was, we had basketball practice. We practiced basketball, and then we all, like, go
you
back.
You practice basketball?
We practice basketball. And we would go, and we change our shoes out of our basketball shoes to normal shoes, and one of the coaches said, oh, wow, Ray Allen just got traded for Gary Payton. And we were all like, what? It was mutinous reaction. It was heartbreaking. Ray Allen was one of my first basketball jerseys I ever got as a kid. I loved Ray Allen.
Yeah, this was an awful trade. And to this day, I do not like George Karl for forcing Ray Allen out of here. That trade was not only Gary Payton, but Desmond Mason for Ray Allen, and I think it was maybe Kevin Ollie or somebody else. But the Bucks sent a first round pick. With Ray Allen to get a rental and Gary Payton for like 30 games.
Yeah.
It was disastrous. Disastrous.
Did this dude just did? They did what?
They traded a 20-some-year-old Ray Allen who went on to average like 26 points per game in Seattle.
Oh, he was amazing in Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah. The 3 seasons before this trade, Ray Allen, all-star. MVP, like 11th in MVP voting, obviously All-Star, and then All-Star again. Like, the dude was an annual All-Star, and then he continued his All-Star streak for a while.
Gary Payton was in his mid-30s at the time. And we brought
and Ray Allen was 26.
Desmond Mason, who, yeah, he can dunk, but that's all he could do. And we traded a first-round pick for an old man. It was crazy. George Karl destroyed the Milwaukee Bucks. He did.
There's also Ronald Murray in that trade
Ronald
as well.
Murray.
And Kevin Ollie, like you mentioned.
Yeah, okay. That was the other one. Yeah,
Ray Allen was so swaggy. He was so swaggy.
I was at the game where he hit nine three-pointers in a playoff game. I was at that game. Incredible. Dude was amazing. When we got Giannis and Giannis wore 34, I said, who in the heck does he think he is wearing number 34? That's exactly what I said. That's how influential and great Ray Allen was.
He's great.
I'm trying to see where this ranks from ChatGPT. It's obviously the worst in Bucks history.
I just typed in Ray Allen stats, and it takes me to Basketball Reference. You know Ray Allen? Ray is his middle name. You know what his first name is?
Someone with a W.
Yes, you're right.
Not Walt.
Wilford?
What did you say?
Wilbur?
Walter. It is Walter.
Walter Ray Allen.
Okay.
Yeah, Wilbur's better.
He could have been Walter Allen.
Charlotte Hornets trading Kobe's draft rights to the Lakers.
Mm.
They also have Bucks trading Dirk on this list.
Now, the Dirk trade was already done. You know who they got with that one? Robert Tractor Trailer.
Trailer.
Oh, wow.
R.I.P.
Yeah, Hawks trading Bill Russell's rights to the Celtics.
That had to be rough. Hawks never recovered.
Hawks never recovered. Chris?
All right, let's move on here. We talked about it a little earlier in the show with Jason Wilde when he joined us, but the Chicago Bears on the move, the Hammond Bears. Chicago Bears apparently have taken a big step forward in finding a new site for their stadium. Today, Indiana lawmakers unanimously approved an amendment to a bill that would pave the way for the Bears to move to Hammond, Indiana. The proposal would create a Northwest Indiana Stadium Authority with the power to issue bonds, acquire land, and finance construction. Just minutes later, then, the House Speaker of Indiana announced the Bears would commit $2 billion toward a proposed stadium project near Wolf Lake in Northwest Indiana. What do you guys think about this?
Well, the $2 billion I don't think is any different than what they were offering to build in the Cook County area of Arlington Heights. It was just the lawmakers and the legislators and the congressmen and all of them didn't want to help support building transportation and parking and infrastructure around what they were putting up for the $2 billion. They didn't want to help with any of that.
It's so short-sighted. First of all, it's hilarious. The idea that like the Bears could be in Indiana, but it's short-sighted because if you think about Illinois, I mean, yes, maybe to increase your taxes for a minute. There are already plenty of high taxes over there. But you think about, we're proposing a dome stadium. So you got Chicago maybe Indiana Bears game. But you got Bears games, you got concerts. Long term,
it was concerts. It was like World Cup. Like
there's countless things you could do.
There was so much land. I grew up in Arlington Heights.
Yeah,
there's so much land over there. I went to the racetrack to ride the ponies all the time. I was so sad when they shut that down. And they shut it down. And they're not even bringing the team over there.
It would just be hilarious if the Bears. That'd probably kill. Still keep the name Chicago Bears, but just the. Troll them, call them the Indiana Bears.
They'll
the
forever
Bears.
Be the Gary or Indiana Bears, yeah, the Hammond Bears, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah,
yeah. I know it's close to happening, and I think the realization is getting there. But there's probably going to be some last minute move from some politicians. This is just playing hardball by the Chicago Bears to say, you know what, y'all not going to do this. We're going to move to Indiana. And once Indiana, their governor has spoken out. Once you get all that movement. I think Illinois is going to take one last moment to push to make sure it happens. They can keep them. But I could care less. I hate the Bears. I hope Chicago loses them, so they're salty.
You hate Chicago?
I hate Chicago. I really do. So, I mean, if Indiana has two football teams, Chicago has zero. I'm not going to let y'all claim them. You can't claim a team not in your state.
No, you cannot.
New York and New Jersey have a different relationship than Chicago and Indiana. Two completely different things.
You can't say that.
Yes, I can.
New York people are embarrassed by New Jersey. They would move the state out of there. It's the lowest form of humanity in the world by to people in New York.
Indiana's ten times better.
I think Indiana,
the state, is the armpit of the Midwest.
I mean, people fly
to Northern Kentucky.
You fly into New Jersey a lot of times. They play in New Jersey. Folks work in New York who live in New Jersey. Like, how many people live in Indiana?
The only people living in New Jersey are poor people. Nobody in New York.
You know the founder and CEO of this company is from New Jersey. He ain't poor because he paid you and me.
You go walk on the streets and ask people in New York what they think. New Jersey. I'd rather be dead than live there.
Well, if they're walking, hopefully they have good joints.
Yeah, exactly. You ain't going to be walking if you're feeling pain in your knees, your hips, your shoulders, or your back. But that's where QC Kinetics is coming to the rescue. And QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in regenerative medicine. That means there's non-surgical, drug-free treatments that uses your body's own natural healing power at the cellular level to get rid of that inflammation, get rid of that pain for the long term. I've been to the Greenfield office, and man, it is unbelievable to see all the tools in their toolkit to make sure that you are being treated how you need to be treated, putting on a personalized path to a pain-free life, and using everything that QC Kinetics has for you. So don't wait any longer. The year is flying by. It'll be spring and summer before you know it, and you're going to wish that you would have called QC Kinetics right now for your free consultation. A no obligation consultation where I guarantee you learn something and where most people walk out of that saying, how can I start my treatments right now? Call QC Kinetics today at 414-240-2298. 414-240-2298. That's 414-240-2298.
Also, it is funny that all of the Bears players live in, like, the nice areas north of Chicago and country clubs and all that. Where the hell are they going to live?
Well, and their training facility is
same place. Not that far away. Not that far to go.
That's a lie.
It's
going to be at least an hour.
Depends what time of the day.
Will they practice in Chicago?
The training facility is in the northern suburbs.
So it's just crazy. On game day. Maybe they take a little plane. I don't know. Is there an airport?
The Super Bowl.
You
champ.
Need to show more respect for Hammond.
No thanks.
You're listening to Kyle Brust and Nortman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Joining us now before the Homer Hour on Kyle Brust and Nortman is the Super Bowl champ, Brian Bulaga. Brian, welcome in.
How are we doing, guys?
USA! USA!
Electric gold medal game for the women's hockey team. Did you have a chance to enjoy that?
I did. I got to watch pretty much the whole thing, especially overtime. It was fantastic.
Awesome stuff. And as we continue to dissect the Rich Bisaccia news, I still continue to ask the same question myself. Tausch is on this special teams kick. They're going to need a new special teams coordinator. Do they get a situations guy like Brad said they had in Carolina? They got to revamp the offensive line if they let guys go in free agency. Obviously, you want some more edge rushers. You got to look at the cornerback room. Where are your two priorities for the Packers through the free agency, which if they can create cap space to go after guys?
Yeah. If
make
it's
it,
me,
make
I'm
it specific
to...
positions if you could, because Tausch really wants a center. You know, he thinks that's really important.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's important too. So I'm with Tausch. Center would be great. He and I talked about that yesterday. Linderbaum, if they're able to do that from the Ravens, that would be fantastic. And then I think interior D line, if that's available. Those would be the two free agency options that I would go to if there's guys available that you like. And like you said, if you can create cap space, because I think interior defensive line definitely needs to be bolstered. There's no doubt about that. And I think if you pick up a center, that solidifies a lot of things in that group that then allows you a lot more flexibility throughout the draft to say, if you want to address corner or you want to add more interior linemen, defensive lineman depth, or even more lineman depth, I think it frees you up a little bit.
Okay, Brian, so you said a center's important. Tausch says a center was important. I believe a center's important. So how in the world did Goody not invest in a center because he decided that he was going to try to move Elgton Jenkins to center and then move Sean Ryan to center? How did we not have a true center on the roster if that position, which I believe was extremely important, is that important?
Well, maybe they were thinking that they thought they had the center on the roster with Elgton. That was what they were thinking, is that was going to work itself out. They'd get 2 years out of that potentially. And then they'd be able to address it later on down the line, right? And they'd be able to bring someone in and address it a little bit later. But clearly it didn't go as planned. Sean Ryan stepped in. He's a free agent. Not sure if they're going to retain him. And that's kind of where we're at right now. That's essentially where we're at as a kind of an offensive line. We don't have a center that's on the roster. Got questions at left tackle, our right tackles. I can't confirm he had surgery, but I would guess he had surgery on his knee. The right guard, while he was a rookie, played really well for parts of the season that he was in there, but still has a lot to improve on. And then the left guard, obviously the big free agent signing from last year. Again, I'm assuming he's going to be back. We don't know. But also was up and down with performances. So there's just a lot of questions in that room right now.
Brian, Pro Football Focus came out with an article, top 101 players from 2025. They haven't released the top 20, so we've got 100 through 21. McKinney, 66, Jordan Love, 37th. Micah Parsons is going to be somewhere in the top 20. He hasn't been listed yet. But Packers will, in the end, have three players listed in these top 101 players. If you look at the rest of the NFC, the Seahawks have six already, and they're going to have seven with JSN. The Rams have eight. They're going to have nine with Stafford. Four for Philadelphia and San Francisco, three for Chicago. So the long story is these elite teams have more guys ranked in the top 100. What do you think is the reason for this talent gap that the Packers have compared to these other NFL teams as it stands, or NFC teams as it stands right now?
Well, I think if you play better and you get further into the playoffs, you'll have more guys in there. It's always like that, right? You play better, more guys get recognized, and that's what Pro Football Focus basing that off their ratings too.
Yeah, so Pro Football Focus's ratings.
Yeah, like I'm just going to be brutally honest. Like, I don't care about their ratings.
Yeah, and give us an anti-Pro Football Focus stance, because Brad is a numbers guy.
I am a numbers guy.
No, I think it's someone sitting on their couch thinking they know what they're watching with tape and thinking they know schemes or what the call is or what the play is or what an assignment should be or what a good throw is, what a bad throw is, what a good decision is, what a bad decision is, making a grade. And to me, that's junk. That's why I think it's junk. So I could care less where they rate guys.
Brad, wow. Nerdman is junk. That's what you are.
Well, he's not saying Nerdman's junk. He's saying Pro Football Focus is junk. I seem to. Is there another area that you think is better for evaluation, Brian?
Watching the film.
Well, yeah, watching it and understanding kind of what's going on. I mean, if someone misses a block or missed tackle, it's really like, okay, that wasn't good. But sometimes Pro Football Focus gives grades when guys play great and they get like a 60%. And it's like, well, how does that make any sense? How do you get a 60% when you played really good? Like, it just makes no sense.
Love it. More controversy for tomorrow. Brian Bulaga and Homer, they're up next in 2 minutes. Don't go anywhere.